I was sent here for you.
From the future?
50 years from now.
Could you give me that one more time, please?
Stay with me.
In the beginning, the Sentinels were just targeting mutants. And they began targeting everyone. I've come a long way.
I gotta let you take this one, because everybody's been asking me, P1, what did you think of this X? You hate it. And I was just like, I just kept telling people, wait till the review.
Yep.
Wait till the fucking review, whatever.
So people have
been asked me, because I saw it last Monday, they were just like, you have to tell me what you think now. I'm just fucking dying to know you not liking X-Men at all, whatever. And getting so deep last week on
it. It got to the point where people were asking me how you felt about it. I mean, like, this has got to be...
This has got to be canon
where everyone just knows you hate this film series, besides the few shining diamonds to you, such as First Class.
I love First Class. I thought First Class touched on so much of those subjects that I wanted from the X-Men. Because, I recently said, X-Men, those were the first books I've ever had. Beyond,
right.
I didn't have any other comic until at least I was like 12, 13 or whatever, and I was reading X-Men straight through. And I remember such all the complexity stories. I remember X-Men being the first books that like really introduced comic books as not like cartoons for kids anymore and shit like that.
Right.
And the movies, I just thought, like a lot of people, they think they're amazing and great and shit like that. And my hate usually becomes the people talking about how great they are. I don't really hate the movie. I think as far as a movie goes, they're competent as films. But I think they're just generic action films, summer blockbuster films, or whatever, compared to what they really can do with that series.
And?
It's kind of... I compared this to a franchise. Oh, Men in Black. That's what I said. I said, I think Men in Black has the potential to do some amazing alien things that we probably never seen before. And yet, they still go for the same route, which isn't a complaint on their territory. You know, keep it the same, whatever, stuff like that. But I think that I remember
you had some
of the best special effects ever, if I saw anything as far as aliens go. And I thought that they could amp that up with in Men in Black 3 when I saw the alien invasion. I was like, I want to see that go on. You know, I thought X-Men could do the same thing with their storytelling there. And I thought that they kind of watered it down with telling Wolverine's story over and over again.
Okay, but you have yet to speak about this film.
How do you get a plot synopsis to play who and tell me what?
I sense some fear coming.
I saw this out on your ass.
I sense some fear coming from that voice. So, I will go first. The plot synopsis here is that it's set in the year 2023, when the Sentinels have pretty much just mowed down everyone except for a couple mutants, and the mutants decide we're gonna send Wolverine back into the past because he's the only one who's going to be able to do it with his regenerating powers, and we're going to have him go try to stop this from ever happening. That's as simple as I can give it, people. Now,
yeah, the movie has a lot of subplots in it, but it all fits in the story.
Right. Now, I will go first, and then I will let you go, P1. Yeah. I really like the movie. I think it did a great job developing the team factor of the X-Men, and that's what people want to see. I think each mutant got their own moment, which is great. I also think that even though Magneto was, towards the end, became a standard villain, he still was menacing enough, thanks to Michael Fassbender's performance, to really make you hate the guy. Something that the other two films... Well, actually, I should say the rest of the films... He's more menacing in this than any of the other films, in my opinion, because it's Fassbender's performance and how cold he plays it. And I think, honestly, the one that stands out the most out of all these guys is James McAvoy as young Charles, because they really do have him delve into a lot of drama and emotion throughout the movie, and I think he's able to carry it the whole way through. There, I'm done. Go ahead, rant.
Now let me tell you, I have to disagree with everything you just said. To the point that I 100% completely agree with you.
Thank you! Hooray!
I have been saying this for goddamn 10 years now that these are a team film, okay? And this was the only time, besides First Class, that I walked out of one of these X-Men movies saying, that motherfucker Bryan Singer listened to me.
He did.
And realized that this is a team film. There is no one character stronger than the other. Even though the story is focused around Mystique, every character in here gets their moment to shine or whatever.
Yes.
I will say, a lot of people question me when I said I think First Class is a masterpiece. I still say that for the simple fact that First Class set up this movie.
Yeah, it really did.
If it wasn't for First Class, we wouldn't have this movie.
It really did. And even though I have some minor complaints with the movie, it's like I tweeted this out last night saying, huh, unlike Sony with Spider-Man, Fox actually realized if you're going to compete with the Marvel Cinematic Universe, you actually have to make a good movie.
Thank you, First Class, once again.
Thank you, First Class, and this. And it seems that...
I'm saying First Class set this up. If it wasn't for First Class, we wouldn't have this film.
Right.
I have to completely agree with you. You made one point here that I didn't think... I haven't heard anyone say yet in a review, because everybody's been posting reviews. Nobody's talking about, you haven't liked that review. You're not talking about it at all, whatever. I'm just like, you'll understand when it comes. I have not seen one person touch on this, at least from my reading or whatever, or listening to whatever, is fucking James McAvoy.
Holy hell.
He is fucking amazing as fucking Professor Xavier. My main problem with Professor Xavier in the original three, that motherfucker didn't do shit but roll and touch his mind.
Right, because they didn't even exactly give Patrick Stewart enough to do. But they even give him enough to do. There's a scene where he has to talk to his younger self, and it's really emotional.
It is brilliant. It is damn near fucking brilliant what they do with James McAvoy. You feel so much for James McAvoy's character, especially when Hugh Jackman, Wolverine, tries to get him so much back into this character, and the shit that he goes through, it is traumatizing to a feat with him. And I have never seen such great Professor Xavier out of anyone besides James McAvoy. This was goddamn amazing. The best thing about this movie, too, is you summed it up again, is the acting is amazing.
Yes. Even though some of the stories can be considered a little silly and contrived,
it gets a little, it runs over each other as well.
But the actors, they all bring their all to it.
That's what I've been saying about actors all this damn
James
time.
McAvoy,
like
Michael...
Halle Berry and shit like that, they can't carry the film, so...
James McAvoy, Michael Fassbender, Hugh Jackman, Jennifer Lawrence, they are pretty much the main parts of this story, and they carry it. They all do.
You're absolutely right. They are the... I wish... there was moments in there where I wish I would have got more of some people, like Nicholas Holt as Beast. I wish I would have seen more of his character.
Yeah,
I think if anyone got the shaft, it was probably him though. If this is considered a first class sequel, because he had
a big part in the first one, and he doesn't have a lot here.
No, and that's not to say it was I appreciate what the movie did as far as giving him the time he had or whatever. But I thought in another movie or something like that, they could give him a little more time, because I think his character from First Class coming to this one had the most interesting story.
Yeah,
to deal with the humans, find out that he's Beast or whatever. So. I thought the whole him being a human part, I thought that kind of took away from what could be an interesting storyline for him and how he deals with it, but that's neither here nor there. I guess that's probably my major complaint I have with the movies. I wish they would have did that, if anything. There are scenes in here that I put First Class, I think I said, I put First Class up there with Iron Man and The Dark Knight, shit like that, whatever. This can be added to this as well at some points. It may not be like the top three of those or whatever, but it could be put at the last of that list or whatever.
Yeah, I agree.
Acting in there is amazing.
Yeah, I completely agree. We also got to give a lot of credit towards Bryan Singer, who comes back onto this series, and really, you know, he delivers. It looks like he listened to every single complaint that people had about the first two X-Men, and he fixes all of them in this.
To be honest, this felt like a starter of the franchise.
Huh.
And I say that with, like, First Class or whatever, keeping First Class, but this felt like it could have been just a second film, and you wouldn't have had to know who, like, Scott and Jean and all of them or whatever and shit like that. You would just automatically know when you see them or whatever as an X-Men fan or something. I thought, personally, it was handled as well as it could be, especially coming off, in my eyes, five bad movies already, so...
Yeah. And it was one of those things where I was also happy that a lot of the continuity they were able to follow. Like, one of the things that I was, like, really curious walking in, just because I know you're not as big a fan, but I am as Wolverine, I was like, wonder if they're going to, you know, take into account what happened last year with the whole Wolverine bone claw thing. And then they come out, and I was like, oh, yeah, they actually listened.
That's probably the only continuity thing in here, because everything else is just skewered.
Well, yeah, because of the time traveling.
I do like Wolverine. That's the thing. People think I don't like Wolverine. I don't like him in these movies. Okay? in the books, there's a lot more to that character. But compared to the other characters, he's probably one of the weakest ones.
Yeah.
But in the movies, I think he's just so forced down our throats because of the actor who plays him that it's just a cash grab at this point of saying, this is the biggest actor we have in here. Let's amount off of him. And I think that all the movies, why I don't like him so much, every one of them, even though he has two of his own goddamn movies, follow a storyline of his or whatever, and it's never about the team with his storyline. It's always just him solo and the rest doing their own thing. And I'm thinking, like, that's what a solo Wolverine is for, if you want to put all this in here. And he's got two right now and one coming on the way, so I don't see why they feel the need to cram this in an X-Men movie as much as they do here.
Yeah.
This is the first time, personally, I thought that Wolverine flowed naturally through this X-Men characters here.
Yeah, I would agree with you. And he even he gets the moment we've all finally wanted from him. After two films of just him, we finally get the moment where he draws blood.
Back and bloodthirsty, yeah. and that kind of fit into the film. That kind of almost opened up the film, if anything.
Yeah, it kind of did.
Yeah, it opened up the past. The opening is, you see the future for about, like, maybe 10 minutes, maybe?
I mean, it's a, like, one of the things that I really like about this movie is that I thought it was going to be very misguided.
Yeah.
And very convoluted. But somehow the script is smart enough that it never feels that way. And anything that you do start to question, the movie is so fast-paced that you don't even think about it.
Another thing about the movie, too, is it's fast-paced and never once you get bored with it. A lot of people thought that I was going to straight hate this movie. I had one positive point in the film. I knew it was a sequel to First Class, and I knew we were going to change McAvoy and Michael Fassbender in the back. So, if anything, my positive going into it was definitely the acting as far as playing those characters. And they delivered not only. If First Class was Fassbender's time, then Days of Future Past is McAvoy's time.
Yeah, I know. And the question becomes now with this next film and what they set up at the end. Will those two be back?
Now, I had a long conversation with someone about that, is because people was like, well, this one critic I was talking about, he's like, so you like this one, right? And I was like, yeah, I liked it a lot, actually. And he said, now, you know, if they don't come back, what they're going to fall on. I said, like you said, like, I saw the end of the film, and it looks like their storyline might have came to an end.
But there's one little factor that I dug up about the next film. And it's that it is going to be set in the 80s. So I don't think they're done yet.
That doesn't make any damn sense in a timeline here.
Well, what I read that they're going to do is that it's set up in the 80s. It won't have any of the current X-Men, but it'll be the first class team.
Okay, so it's like this movie's like a retirement for the older people.
I guess kind of in a way. I mean, they kind of set that up at the end.
What was the point of bringing people and say, oh, we gotta get in this book. They brought back at the end of the film, because time traveling can do that, because once they fix one thing, they brought back Scott and Jean, which I thought was an interesting part as well, because I was like, that'd be interesting to see these characters come back to take on Apocalypse. Now, not to say that I'm hating on the first class thing, I love the first, because we only know Fassbender and McAvoy, but who's the team that's gonna be with them? So, they're gonna get new mutants around.
Right. And it will be interesting to see. I mean, there's going to be a lot of questions that arise from this movie, you know, especially when it comes to the next one.
Another part I have to say is what I like First Class so much is because it didn't get too much action. It wasn't an action-oriented summer film.
No,
it was definitely a story and acting film, whatever. And I thought the same went for this film as well.
Yeah, I agree. It doesn't really turn into that heavy action film until the end.
I heard someone complaining about that end of, like, it got too actiony. And I was just like, even that ending didn't really feel that. And there was one really big set piece that Magneto did. And I was like, after that, there really wasn't that much. There was a lot more dialogue after that than it was just straight action of fighting.
Yeah, and the stuff with the Sentinels, too.
The Sentinels, everybody talks shit about them. My ass. I was just like, them Sentinels are weird as fuck. I will say this, Sentinels still are weird as fuck, but the Sentinels have a presence in the film. What they can do is damn right scary.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's that thing that made me think back to Captain America, is that, you know, the reason that these two hold a candle so far above the head of Spider-Man, it's not even funny, is that they're topical. They deal with modern-day topics, you know. The Sentinels are kind of the same thing as Captain America, where there's something that, you know, the government creates to try to build peace, but when those things go bad, it could just completely decimate us.
Yeah, I can tell that's where Pete English is in there, people. And he uses a they see in the future that he captures Mystique and experiments on where he gets her DNA, and he mixes it with the Sentinels here. And the Sentinels can transform pretty much into other mutant powers if they'd like to or anything like that. And I was like, that is some effective shit right there. I feel their presence. They're scary. They're intimidating. The effects of them may not look good or whatever, but they're effective at what they're doing. So, and that overweight is like 100% more.
I can see that. I think another thing that, you know, the part that I have to eat my words is with... I mean, you know the crap I was talking on with Quicksilver with this.
Yeah, he's still a little shit, but he was...
Yeah, he got a really cool scene, so I had to eat my words.
Yeah, he had two good scenes, to be honest, whatever. Because I don't think number one, no one really talked about before the movie came out, is how his how he would move. Once again, I got to say Marvel beat DC again, because they're still struggling to get a Flash series up in Marvel.
Well, you make
it. Hey, well, we got Quicksilver.
You make a very solid point. So, what would you give it?
I'm not done yet. I want to talk about Quicksilver parts, whatever. Quicksilver parts, the one he did in the actual Pentagon. I thought that was fun and breathtaking, to be honest.
Yeah, it was.
I thought it was amazing. I was looking, and I was like, I don't give a shit how he dressed or whatever and shit. Once again, it's just like the same thing with the Sentinels. I don't care how he looks or dressed, like, whatever. What he's doing right now is very effective. And I like that little tidbit they threw in there when he's talking to Magneto. So I hear you can move metal. My mom dated a guy like that once.
Oh. Bum, 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 bum.
And I like when they were watching the TV, the mom was like looking at back. I was like, I do have some minor complaints, like you said. There's some cheesy dialogue in here. There's a scene in that same elevator ride that Magneto says. I was like, they could have took that out. That was even Michael Fassbender delivering it. It sounded kind of cheesy. Like you said, there are some plot points in here that get a little thrown over themselves. But I think what the advantage of that is the movie moves such at a fast pace that it's goddamn, you kind of just forgive it. You can forgive it all and just go on about it. I say if you really want to right the wrongs of a franchise or something like that, First Class was definitely a good step, and this just stepped it up even better.
Yeah, I agree. They didn't answer one, or maybe I missed it because I came in a little late. They didn't answer the one that you and I brought up.
Which one was that?
Last year after the Wolverine, where Charles Xavier, you're alive. How? Magic.
Oh, my God. Okay, and people clapped at that. But got the nerve to talk about, all I saw at the end of Iron Man 2 was a hammer for Thor. I was just like, oh. I was like, I'd rather see that than it's magic.
Yeah. I mean, did I miss it? Did they answer that, or did I not miss that?
No, they didn't answer that at all. I do find a problem with that personally. I think that does. That's definitely something that needs to be explained.
I mean, just a tad.
It's just, especially if you make it such a big deal going into the front, like, because you said Wolverine ties into this movie and Apocalypse as well.
Yeah.
I think that's something that definitely needs to be explained. Scott and Jean, I thought they explained theirs very well. Just go back in time. There you go.
Yeah. And one other thing, you know, I have one possible solution to why they did it.
Did what?
Didn't explain it. They could just want the audience to say, fuck Brett Ratner's film.
This movie was a big fuck you to Brett Ratner's film. It was a fuck you of all the beginning of Brett Ratner's film. Because the opening of this felt like they were back in the danger room of the last room.
I know, and maybe that's why they didn't answer it, because they're just saying, you know what, X3 didn't happen.
Yeah, but they opened it up in Wolverine.
Oh, crap. All right, well, we're like I said, let's just not delve into that. But I'm gonna give this.
Did you have with the film?
What
you had? What other problems did you have with the film? You had any?
I mean, you've pretty much summed them all up. It's a cheesy dialogue. It's a the fact that Fassbender just kind of turns into a stereotypical villain. But
oh, I guess I didn't talk about that as well. Neither. Yeah, he kind of does. I think the roles reverse with him and McAvoy in First Class in this one.
Yeah, I agree with that. And even though Fassbender does a great job of playing that supervillain, it was kind of disappointing to see that, even though Magneto is one of my favorite supervillains. Yeah. I don't really have a lot else to say.
Another thing, too, is that scene on the airplane, that shit was intense.
Yeah, it was. I forgot about that. I agree with that.
That was my favorite scene in the whole movie. I remember watching that in the trailer and liking it or whatever. And I remember I was like, I really like that scene. I hope they go in that longer. And it was pretty fucking long. McAvoy was getting in Fassbender's face about that. And you don't think Fassbender's gonna do anything, but he got his face. He was just like, "Where was you at when Banshee?" And he just started when they experimented on it. I was just like, "Damn, this is some deep shit." Even Wolverine was looking in the background like, "Holy fuck,
I ain't having no part of this."
And that's another thing. I'm glad they held Wolverine back, too. He wasn't the main focal point of the movie.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. So I give this to see it. I mean, this I got to be honest with you. This made me hate Spider-Man more, because it just showed me that, you know, even though this isn't part of the MCU, and even though a different studio owns it, these guys, more than Sony, really understand that if you want to compete, you have to make a great movie, and you have to make people care about your characters and want to make them go see the next movie.
Yeah.
That's the key. You want to get them excited to go see the next movie. Now I'm excited to see whatever comes out next for the X-Men. I'm not excited for anything Spider-Man. I'm excited for X-Men, because this film is so great, from having great characters, great action scenes, and a lot of great things going for it. It's kind of a revival of the X-Men franchise. And I have to give, you know, Bryan Singer, the writers, all the actors of it who took it very seriously, and I have to give the studio who really let this happen, because it is kind of experimental, you know, they let it fly, and it shows, because it's something new and different.
And Matthew Vaughn.
And Matthew Vaughn, too, yeah. That's a good point to bring up.
Thank you, Matthew Vaughn, for starting this series over for me and getting me back, getting me into X-Men movies now. I think another thing this movie does better than Spider-Man is that it opens up questions and these kind of dangling until you, like you said, like make you want to see the next film. Because I have a lot more questions than answers, and I mean that in a good way.
Yeah, in Spider-Man you mean it in a bad way, because you can tell that they're just doing it because the studio is just trying to get you to go see the next film.
Yeah, exactly. The thing with Amazing Spider-Man is nothing felt organic. In the original Spider-Man film, you never once would have thought Harry would have became the Green Goblin. But in this film, The Amazing Spider-Man 2, you can definitely see, like, this guy's going to become a villain somehow, some way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I give it a see it. I don't like it as much as Captain America 2. It's on par, probably like two steps down.
I'm right there with you.
Definitely a refreshing reminder of summer is more than just big blockbusters and shit like that. There's a lot of story to be told. And I really like that about the film a lot too. So, yeah, I see well.
Yeah. So, I like how you brought up the point about stories need to be told. Hey, Michael Bay, listen.
And that trailer looked like the same shit from the last 3 months.
I know. And we're going to have to go see it. It's going to be bad.
Funny if that one was good.
You know what? Even if I say it's good, I know you are gonna find something to nitpick about it.
Goddamn right.
Good night, folks.
Hey, bastards. We'll be right back.
future.
Do I make it?
No.
Are we destined to destroy each other? Or can we change who we are and unite? Is the future truly set?